and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a wonderful, safe, blessed day today. How are you doing today, Dan?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I wish Hassan would give us something that we actually, you know, could use against Hillary a month before the election, but apparently he's been getting a lot of death threats, and I just found out from another report that was released back when Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was in there with Obama, she wanted to kill him with a drone strike, which that wouldn't surprise anybody, I'm sure. So, yeah, so it's a big mess, but it's kind of like with Larry Nichols. I mean, Larry Nichols, the whole thing was about with Vince Foster, and sure enough, basically Vince Foster's archives basically have been taken out as far as his death from those disappeared. So I don't know. I mean, so if somebody has something against this Benghazi nightmare, we really need to get it released now and not pretend like we're not going to do that. But Assad may have been really threatened this time, Austin. Who knows? I mean, he says, I'm going to kill you, kill your family, kill your children, or whoever he has, you know, your mother, everybody else. You know, he may have said, you know what, this isn't worth getting involved with this, because pretty much they know that the body count of the Clintons is pretty much true, and they don't want to be involved in any of it. I got to tell you guys something real quick, though. Yesterday, something happened to our internet service, and I don't know what happened to it. You know, something has to do with DOS, but it made me realize just how fragile of a communication line that we have with you guys. So what I want you to do is we're going to start sending out an email every day with the current show on it from the same day or the day before, and I want everybody to go ahead and sign up for the email if you're not signed up for the email yet. Healthmasters.com. You can sign up for our email list. And so you're going to be getting at least five emails a week from us, Monday through Friday, with the show linked directly to that email. And what that's going to do is going to keep me with a point of contact for my listeners. Because yesterday, when the whole system went down like it did, we didn't even get the recording on the telephone. So anyone trying to call up yesterday and listen to the show, they got nothing. And my wife tried to hear the show yesterday. She couldn't hear the show, and that's what I figured was going to happen with the telephone also. So it's a great show, so we send it back out today to our email subscribers, but we can't send it to you guys if you aren't signed up for the emails. And we don't sell the email list. We don't ever do that. We don't share the email list. We don't do that. It's only for stuff that we're doing with Health Masters or for the show. Anything else you want to add with that, Oz?
No, absolutely. We want to get the information out there. It's our ultimate goal, guys, is waking up as many people as we can and trying to make a difference the best we can. And the only way we can do that, you know, is with you guys. With you guys getting your friends involved, you guys forwarding it to other people and trying to wake other people up. So that's why we're trying to give you guys the best tools possible and get it on the social media and the emails and everything we can on Twitter. So that way it's the easiest way possible to just click the link and forward it to somebody, and that way we can get this information out there and hopefully make a difference for our constitutional republic and bring back this country to where it used to be. That's our overall goal, at least.
That's
and
right.
Keep
and
people healthy, of course.
That's right. And we're also going to be putting it out on our Twitter feed and on our Health Masters Facebook page. And, you know, any other way we can get it out, we're going to send out the links to all of the shows every single day, along with a show title and the content of that show that day. So it's going to give us a lot more exposure to you guys. And if you miss a show when you want to listen to it or hear it, it'll come directly into your inbox, and that way it won't be an issue of trying to find it or trying to pull up an archive on it. So we're going to be able to give it to you that way. And plus, we'll have a lot of other health-related articles in there too. So we're going to really step this portion up what we do quite a bit. But I just want you guys to know that if you're not signed up for the emails, we can't stay in touch with you. If you're not going to do that, at least get on our Twitter feed and our Facebook feed, and that way you'll continue to get all of the information concerning the shows and all the updated news. What's your first story of the day, bud?
Well, speaking of, you know, wishing that WikiLeaks would put some information out, you know, Trump did the speech in Colorado yesterday, and what he did yesterday is he really needs to start utilizing what he did yesterday in the debates, the next upcoming debate. You know, he brought up the fact that he said Hillary is only focusing on small little petty things and not discussing vital issues. And this is what he should have been saying in the debate. He went on to say, he said, we're talking about borders, we're talking about trade, we're talking about jobs, we're talking about refugees, crime, failing schools, how to turn this country around. And he says, Clinton is grossly inexperienced when it comes to growing a business. The only method of making money is by selling government favors and granting access to special interests, and she knows nothing about businesses succeeding or growing. She can't even discuss issues because she's the one who helped create most of the problems in the first place. All she can do is accuse me of basically being a racist and attacking everything I say and not bringing up any vital points that we need to addressed and on how to fix them. And he's absolutely right, and that's what I wish you would really bring some stuff up like this, including Benghazi, including the emails, including all the stuff that he has on her, instead of playing that kind of more submissive role like he did, or just kind of bringing up really, really just not needed things. But he brought this up today at the speech, and I was really kind of like, I listened to some of it, I'm like, man, where was this guy at a week ago at the debates? Why didn't he show up? Why didn't he bring a lot of this attitude and a lot of this information? So I thought that was interesting. So I know he's got it. I know he's got the ability to do it. We've seen him do it before. But maybe, like you said, maybe he's holding something for the next two debates, Dad. That's what I'm praying for.
Well, he said at the end of the debate, the reason he didn't bring up the stuff about Clinton and his mistresses is because Hillary's daughter, because it's not Bill's daughter, it's Webb Hubble's daughter, was basically, you know, it's Chelsea, was there in the front row. And if you don't believe that she's, you know, Webb Hubble's daughter, then you need to go look at a picture of Webb Hubble and put it beside, you know, Clinton, Chelsea. They look like twins. So, you know, and I'm not going to get into that. These people are so perverse with their open lifestyles and their open marriages and their just whatever. I mean, it was interesting. Well, I'll talk about that in a second. But the DEA, by the way, has decided to delay its announced September 30th scheduling of Kratom as a Schedule I drug, Austin.
Good.
A bunch of our listeners have called in. A bunch of other listeners have called in. In fact, the Free Thought Project reported that on the 1st of September, the Kratom has now been targeted by the DEA for reclassification as a Schedule I drug. Currently available over-the-counter at health food stores and online, the DEA declared August 30th that the use of this drug is basically an imminent hazard to public safety. But as U.S. News and World Reports noted, the DEA admitted that the 14 of deaths associated with Kratom had nothing to do with the drug because the people were addicted to heroin. While Kratom users may be breathing a sigh of relief from the DEA's announced delay, shouldn't hold their breath because, according to the DEA spokesman Russ Baer, the delay is just temporary. The DEA still plans to go ahead with its Kratom ban, adding it will only be a couple of days before the decision is published and final. So, you know, the sad part about this is that these guys are just even admitting that there's nothing wrong with this product now, and it doesn't make any difference. They're saying that, you know, we're still going to just ban it regardless. And here's something from the Daily Mail. It's an exclusive, according to these guys. It says how talk of Bill Clinton's post-presidency cheating with a Canadian heiress, a divorced neighbor, and actress Gina Gerson led to Hillary's decision to use her basically tramp of a husband sparingly in their campaign. Bill and Hillary have lived largely separate lives, partly out of necessity and partly to keep Bill from overshadowing Hillary. Her new book about former president says he spent little time in Washington while she was Secretary of State. Hillary only ventured to Chappaquica 2 weeks of every month at the most. Clinton also was linked to Belinda Stronach, a divorced Canadian heiress, and divorced neighbor Julie Tauber McMahon. Hillary and Bill found time to vacation together, usually with good friends Mary Steenburgen and Ted Danson on Martha's Vineyard. I mean, this thing is just, you know, these people nauseate me, and the fact that we want these nutbags, or the people want these nutbags back in the White House, blows my mind. And any of these folks that are actually involved with the Clintons in their weird rituals and the things that they do, I'm not going to talk about this anymore. Let's go to something else. I don't like talking about it, but they nauseate me. What's your next story, Austin?
Well, this is interesting. Now, we talked about before a couple weeks ago with Missouri, and I didn't realize that multiple states are starting to do this. Now, Missouri is just the fourth state now this year to pass the constitutional carry law, which was on September 15th. West Virginia, Mississippi, and Idaho have also adopted constitutional carry laws in 2016, bringing the total number of states to 12, which basically allows you to carry a concealed handgun without requiring a permit to carry a firearm. Obviously, still firearm laws are still in place there. You can't be a convicted felon or convicted of any type of violent crime. You can't carry it in airports, courthouses, liquor stores, or places of nuisance. Stuff like that really should be in place. But you don't have to have a permit. And I just want to kind of retouch on this again, because Dad and I have talked about this numerous times. We brought it up on the show 2 weeks ago, is the fact that from a constitutional standpoint, this is incredibly good, and I really, really like it from a Second Amendment standpoint. But on the other side of it, I really, really expect, and I encourage people, if they're going to exercise this right and they're going to engage in carrying a concealed weapon, and they're not going to take classes and learn what to do, they need to at least be going to the range on a regular basis and actively shooting their handgun. If they're not sure about something, they need to get instruction on it, and they need to do it on a regular basis and stay proficient with that handgun, because it is not safe for everybody around you if you're carrying a firearm that you never shoot, which I know multiple people that carry firearms or act like they carry firearms or pretend that they carry firearms, and they absolutely have zero training at best on how to handle a firearm safely. And the issue that I have is that, guys, is I don't want to be in a scenario where there's an active shooter or a situation where I'm trying to defend my life or my family's or somebody around me, and I'm trying to engage a threat, and you shoot me in the back because you have no idea how to handle your firearm in an intense scenario. So I encourage people, if they're going to engage in this and they're not going to get permits, which means they're not going to be required to take safety classes on it, that you go out of your way and be productive and be proactive and get basically taught how to handle your firearm safely if you don't already know how to do so. And, of course, as always, train with it on a regular basis and stay proficient with it, because this is the most important aspect of carrying a firearm. Using it, there's only a split second that you're ever going to use it, and when you do, you need to be accurate. But the time before and the time after are crucial that you do not have any mistakes or any other bystander that could be shot with friendly fire. It's really, really important, guys, because nobody needs to be getting shot by some yak that's carrying a gun because he thinks he's cool because he can legally do it now. So I just want to reiterate that and kind of bring it up today. But I am very excited for the constitutional aspect of it.
And also, if you're going to fire a warning shot, don't fire it straight up in the air, because that bullet's going to land. Yeah, but don't fire it on concrete either, because it's going to ricochet. Just, you know, you're going to have to find a soft patch of dirt or some sand or something to shoot into if you want to fire a warning shot. If you can't find that soft patch of ground or sand if you're going to fire a warning shot, I suggest you don't fire a warning shot personally, because it's going to be too dangerous. But also remember, a lot of people fire a warning shot and they don't realize that, you know, they may get rushed after they have their gun pointed at the ground with the warning shot. I mean, you gotta be really careful to start doing a warning shot. I watch these crazy TV shows all the time and these movies from Hollywood, and this guy's running around killing everybody, and he's in the, basically shooting everybody. And so somebody comes up behind him and says, "Put your gun down." And the guy spins around and shoots. That person just told him, "Put the gun down," instead of just shooting the person before he yells something at you, before they yell something at him. Okay, I didn't explain that very well. I'm gonna say that again. If a bad guy is shooting somebody and you see him do it, don't warn him you're fixing to shoot him. Just shoot him. Does that sound better, Austin?
That's exactly right.
Because even if you got to shoot him in the back, it doesn't make any difference. If he's committing a felony and killing somebody or shooting somebody or beating somebody or raping somebody, don't say, "Stop or I'm going to shoot you." Just shoot them if they're committing a felony and they're beating somebody after death, raping somebody, knifing somebody, or shooting somebody. Don't be threatening people with guns. Don't be doing that. Just pull the gun out. And if you've got legitimate grounds to defend somebody, another life or your life, just do it. And because you start giving warning shots and telling them to put their gun down or whatever they're going to do, there's a real high probability you're going to end up in a firefight. By the way, here's a good article on kombucha. I drink kombucha every single day, and here's six benefits for kombucha. Now, what this is like a fermented tea. It's a well-known source of probiotics. Kombucha is a sweet tea beverage, fermented. Now, I get mine without any sugar in it. With yeast and bacteria. It's commonly called the immortal health elixir, and it's more popular now than ever. In fact, the market is expected to grow at a healthy pace of approximately 25% a year until 2020. In addition to a strong, robust flavor, kombucha is an incredible tonic with many health-promoting properties. Some of them are: it contains probiotics, which is very, very good for the intestinal tract. It contains antioxidants, which is very good for your body as far as not getting sick. It also supports the immune system, which is really important with what it does. And it may help ulcers to heal, though I've not seen the research on that. And it says it may provide nutritional support against cancer. And, of course, anytime you do something with your immune system, it may do that. And also it helps support healthy, normal body weight. I drink it every single day. I like it. It's kind of got a bite to it. And so something besides drinking distilled water all the time. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of good aspects to it as well. And also, too, always understand, guys, if you're not taking a probiotic, it's really important you do so, because the probiotics are very important as well. You know, we have the probiotic blend, our basic one, and we also have the 100 billion probiotic And I talked about the article last week that they directly link low probiotics to higher fat levels and higher chances of obesity. So it's very important that you guys are eating stuff like this. We have, you know, like cabbage, you know, kombucha, stuff like that that's really healthy for you. But on a regular basis, too, making sure your probiotic intake is very high with your other supplements, because you have to keep your digestive tract flowing properly. It all works together, and if one part of it isn't working correctly, it's going to mess up other aspects of it. And every part of it is so vitally important to your health, from the digestion, from the elimination of the toxins, all the way around. And the probiotics really plays a good role in there as well, Dad. So
there's actually a gut-brain interface with the bacteria in your intestinal tract.
Yeah.
80% or so of your entire immune system resides in your intestinal tract. That's why antibiotics are so dangerous and why they really wreck your immune systems. You really need to stay away from antibiotics as most best you possibly can. And if you are going to go on the 100 billion capsule ones that we have as far as the probiotics. I heard another talk show host bragging the other day that they were selling a probiotic blend that had 50 million live things in it, right? The cells. I started laughing. I said, we have like 100 billion. I don't even know what the percentage of that would be, how tiny that is. It's just, we have the highest quality nutraceutical products in the world, period. That's just the end of the period. Oh, by the way, first on CNN, okay, this is the Communist News Network, the Clinton News Network, the constant negative news, whatever you want to call it. North Korea may be planning October surprise that the study finds. Now, remember, this is on CNN. I'm sure it's being released either through Reuters or through one of the other agencies that are owned by the Rothschild banking cartel. So this morning, I wrote an article. I woke up early this morning, and I couldn't sleep. I was thinking about the election. Woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and so I wrote this morning at 4. So if it doesn't sound coherent, that's why. Okay. And here's what I wrote. I pulled that article up, and I said, remember, CNN is a Rothschild arm. The Rothschilds own 95% of the media through direct purchase or interlocking corporate directorships. They also own Reuters and the AP Wire. These news agencies are propaganda arms of their worldwide dictatorship. They operate through their multinational corporations. Right now, they don't want populism or nationalism. They want globalism, a one-world government controlled by the United Nations, with a spiritual head being the Vatican, which is moving towards Satanism. They are desperate to stop Trump. North Korea can't even feed itself. If they detonate a nuke in the atmosphere or whatever, creating an EMP, they didn't do it. It would probably be the Mossad working for the Rothschild cartel using our military. Several years ago, Obama purged the upper military echelon loyal to the USA citizens. This was ordered by the Rothschilds and their mafia. The simple fact is this. The bankers control the world through their fiat money system. They are totally given over to hedonism, pedophilia, occult worship, and bringing in the full kingdom of Lucifer. They want to destroy the planet. They hate God so much that they are willing to destroy us and this planet as we know it. Look at the chemtrails, the GMOs, the forced immunizations, chimera development, autism, pansexualism, cancer. This list just goes on and on. They literally operate through a breakaway civilization. Their technology is centuries ahead of what they allow us, the masses. They want to merge with machines to live forever. Remember, Satan cannot create life, but he can create machines. They are desperate to merge consciousness or their souls with machines. They don't want to die because they know what awaits them, because sooner or later, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. So I wrote that this morning at 4 o'clock. I thought it turned out okay. And what's interesting about that, it kind of sums up this entire mess that we're dealing with right now. And gosh, guys, listen to me for a second. You know, we got to realize that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Death, O death, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? Is what Jesus said. It has no authority over us, no sting over us. Because, guys, when we go to be with God, Lord, in heaven, we leave this earthly body anyhow. And our only thing that's real in this hologram that we live in is our soul. And it goes to be with God automatically. So the crazy thing about this is these guys can threaten us and do whatever they want to do to us. It doesn't make any difference. If you're born again and saved, you're going right straight to heaven. So, guys, think about that for a second and realize that we don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. and that we don't have to walk around being anxious or being afraid or being scared. It doesn't matter. None of those things matter. We don't have to live like that. Live your life. Enjoy your life. Do what you need to do. Enjoy your job. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your grandkids. And realize, guys, that God's still in charge and prayer still changes things. And we're going to keep praying and praying and praying. I'm also going to pray that Trump gets off his butt on this next election, this next debate, Austin, and actually says what he needs to say. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, no, that was excellent writing this morning, man, especially for being a 4 a.m. writer.
4 a.m. morning it was. Gosh.
Yeah, but that's exactly what everybody's be praying for right now, that everybody starts to wake up of what's going on, that basically Trump shows us what he needs to, and that people's eyes are open and they're exposed to what's really going on here. Here's another article. We've talked about this so many times, and I don't even know how many research studies have to be done before people start realizing that aluminum is not healthy to put in your body, especially with the deodorant. A new study right out of Switzerland now directly shows that aluminum chloride, a common additive in antiperspirant deodorants that blocks moisture, exerts an estrogen-like effect that directly promotes the growth and spread of cancer cells.
That's
University
right.
of Geneva looks at aluminum chloride's role in temporary blocking sweat glands in the underarm. The toxic compound essentially lodges itself inside the skin in order to accomplish this, and over time builds up in breast tissue. Mimicking the effects of estrogen, aluminum chloride in the long term acts as fuel for the formation of cancer tumors, helping them to form and spread throughout the body. Co-author Dr. Andre Pascal Sapino, PhD, and his colleagues evaluated the effects of aluminum chloride both on isolated human mammary cells and in test mice to come to this conclusion. They observed that long-term exposure to the chemical not only directly spurred cancer tumors, but also metastasized. Aluminum chloride is so harmful in the body, in fact, that the researchers determined it to be as equally as threatening to health as asbestos. As asbestos, guys. Dr. Sapino, who serves both as a professor and oncologist, advises women and men to immediately stop using antiperspirant deodorant products that contain aluminum in any way for their own safety. He says, I think we should avoid all deodorants containing aluminum salts, he told the media. Evidence also exists, as we've talked about before, that suggests that the aluminum is also a major contributor to Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia as they cross the blood-brain barrier and accumulate over time in the brain. Until, as we talked before, a 2011 review published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease admitted plainly that aluminum may be the single most aggravating avoidable factor associated with brain disease. So guys, please stop using the deodorant. Please stop using aluminum deodorant. We carry our Dead Sea Magnesium deodorant that's incredibly good. It's really, really effective. Now, I do have to say probably about 1 out of 10 people occasionally do get some type of red reaction from the magnesium and how strong it is. It's very rare, but it does happen. If that's the case, you generally have to wait a day and you can reapply it. If you find you can't use that product, we also carry another version of our Tom's deodorant that does not have aluminum in it as well. But the magnesium doubles because you're actually getting magnesium right into the bloodstream, right into the pores with the underarms, but you're also, too, using a good deodorant that doesn't have aluminum in it, guys. So I just wanted to reiterate that because I've seen so many people use this stuff over and over and over again. And it's about time everybody starts waking up and realizing this stuff is as bad as asbestos. I mean, that's what the doctor said. I mean, this is what they said in here, quoting him. So please, guys, do us all a favor and step away from that stuff and get your friends and family off it. I know, Dad, we talked to everybody about it, but I feel like more and more people just don't think it's that big of a deal because they don't see direct health issues immediately from it. I think that's what it is.
Well, the whole thing about it is this, you know, with the aluminum that we have, the aluminum that we have in our environment already, 5% of the Earth's crust is aluminum, and the constant exposure we're getting to aluminum via chemtrails, you know, and all of the people cooking in aluminum pots and pans and using aluminum foil and using aluminum deodorant and using aluminum antacids. I mean, you know, you're getting too much aluminum. It's causing Alzheimer's and senile dementia at a very, very young age. So don't be cooking in aluminum at all. And just because you use stainless steel or cast iron, that's it, or glass, that's okay. That's what we use here at the house. We actually practice what we preach. I mean, it's so funny. Every once in a while, we'll have somebody come over, and they've heard us on the radio for years, or they've been friends for years or whatever, and they've never been to our house, and they've known us. And they ask me, do you guys really eat this way? And I'm like, go into the pantry. And they walk into the pantry, and they go, wow, everything in there is organic. I said, yeah. I said, "No, what about the cookware?" They'll look at the cookware. But it's all stainless. I said, "Yeah, I know." He said, "If we really do this, okay, you're not going to find aluminum chlorohydrate antiperspirant deodorants in the house. You won't find them here because they're that poisonous. They cause breast cancer, ladies. They cause breast cancer. It's one of the primary causes of breast cancer. We talked about this just the other day. Oh, by the way, Austin, I want you to go ahead and send another email out tomorrow with this show. And okay. I want you to link that article back to in the email of what you just read about the aluminum in that. So that'll be a new nutrition article. Everybody will get the emails when they sign up for that. Thousands of deaths have now been linked to the TSA radiation scanners. They call this, in the article, they call it the TSA virtual strip searches, which is what it was. The legal battle over the TSA's installation of advanced imaging technology, its virtual strip search machines in airports, has gone for nearly a decade and is focused mostly on privacy rights. The feds use an X-ray type technology designed to reveal whether an airplane passenger is carrying a weapon or another band or under their clothing. But there have been numerous losses of the images create initially an essentially nude rendering of the passenger, like X-ray goggles, I guess, and how the images were handled. The agency said it altered software so that images now render a stick figure that doesn't reveal intimate details, like anybody really believes that. But now there's a lawsuit raising another claim. The machines are responsible for hundreds of deaths per year. This I believe. Now, they may not be directly, but I can guarantee you they're indirectly. The lawsuit was filed in the District Court of Columbia Court of Appeals by the Competitive Enterprise Institute and the Rutherford Institute against the Department of Transportation and the TSA. The suit is being pursued in conjunction with a similar case of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. When the TSA began installing the machines in 27, the government failed to follow the Administrative Procedure Act's requirement that it propose and adopt standards. Consequently, formal complaints and challenges to the TSA program were delayed. Now the delays, after 10 years, have finally been formalized, and they allow the use of a device that creates a visual image of an individual showing the surface of the skin. TSA characterized the AIT as reducing the need for pat-downs and stated the privacy-concerned body scanners' production of naked body images had been eliminated. But the problem is now they're linking this directly to death and to cancer and to everything else. So this is interesting. So this is crazy. So they're going to, let's see what happens now with this hundred, with these people dying, hundreds of deaths linked to TSA virtual strip machines. Apparently that's not every year. That's going to be since they started this whole thing with it. And now think about this too. You've got these other guys who are outside of this machine who are standing there all day long while they're X-raying everybody. And these guys are being exposed to all of this if this isn't properly lined with lead. Now, what I do when I go through TSA, which I try to avoid because now I have that global pass, and so I avoid a lot of that, is that I just basically tell them they're not going to X-ray me. I've never been on one of the machines one time, and I make them pat me down. I say, "No, you just pat me down. I'm good," and I'll enjoy the massage. And I sit there and have my rights completely violated. And I don't enjoy it, but it's just part of the deal here right now, living in this NSA Gestapo world that we have, that we call the United States. So it's just crazy that they actually have the ability to do this, and they have to start profiling people that are going into airports. When you have a grandmama who's 80 years old with three or four grandbabies, and everybody's going together, and they're all, and you can tell they're Caucasian, they're not Arab. You know, they're carrying their Bible. Okay. They're not Arabs. Okay. They're not carrying bombs, probably at one billionth of a chance. Right. So you don't have to really be concerned about having that little old lady come out of the wheelchair and lose her bladder bag and everything else they've done to these poor people before and basically just make a nuisance out of themselves. So we have to figure some way of doing that and quit being so stinking politically correct with this nonsense. What do you think, son?
Oh, TSA's gotten completely out of control. I mean, the fact that they, as I talked before, they've thwarted nothing. They've produced nothing. They've stopped nothing. They do nothing. It's simply there to make us subservient, to basically strip us from our rights and make us understand that the government is all-controlling and all-powerful. And if we want to travel, then we're going to submit like dogs and do exactly what they tell us to do. That's as flat out as it gets. TSA does absolutely nothing productive, in my opinion, at all. They've done nothing productive now. They'll do nothing productive later. They're simply there to show us that the government will do whatever they want and their tyrannical level that they've reached to make us submit any way they see fit. And that's just the honest opinion. That's why it's so nice with the pass that you have, you don't have to go through that. But I don't ever fly much anymore anyway, so I haven't gotten one of those. But, yeah, it's TSA and me don't get along at all every time I've gone through there.
What's your next story?
Well, this is interesting now, too. After we talked about what happened back in July with the executive order with UN, apparently now it's become, you know, completely open now, what's going on. The Military Times reports the United Nations military troops may soon arrive and see action on American soil following the United States announcement of support for a set of principles that gives a green light for UN peacekeeping troops and police to use force to protect civilians in armed conflicts. This essentially is giving the United Nations complete and total carte blanche use of force on U.S. citizens. We talked about this when it got signed a little ways back, but I kind of want to reiterate it now because now people have kind of forgotten about it, except it's an executive order that's still there. And in very, very soon, if something starts erupting, I can pretty much guarantee you from what we've seen from the transports of the UN MRAPs and armored vehicles to this legislation being signed out, this executive order, this unconstitutional executive order being signed, that we will see UN very, very soon on the streets, subtly at first, and they will start to expand rapidly. U.S. Ambassador Samantha Powell told attendees at an important UN meeting that the United States was proud and humbled to be included in the new agenda. What a joke. The arrival of the United Nations requires federalization of police in order to set a global standard of law enforcement. Barack Obama had pounced on the opportunity to exploit the shootings a few months ago to push for the federalization of local police forces. He signed an executive order that allows for the U.S. military to use force against American citizens for the first time in U.S. history alongside UN peacekeeping troops. The order was signed on July 1st, 2016, and is entitled Executive Order, United States Policy on Pre- and Post-Strike Measures to Address Civilian Casualties and U.S. Operations Involving the Use of Force. The order appears to have changed the rules of engagement between the military and ordinary U.S. citizens in a complete and total in-and-out of the Constitution. The United States Policy on Pre- and Post-Strike Measures to Address Civilian Casualties in the U.S. Operation Involving the Use of Force. Everything about that title sounds wrong to me, guys. Every aspect of that title sounds wrong to me. But this is what we have going on. This is why they're doing everything they can to try and restrict our gun rights, but we still are holding legislation pretty strong. And by the way, I think we're at the 17th month now in this country of peak gun sales. Like, for the last year and a half now, we've been having record gun sales every single month, beating every single month. So I'm pretty proud of that, pretty excited about that. It appears to be an arms race, what we found ourselves in now in the United States, which is pretty interesting. But, yeah, I wanted to bring that up again because a lot of people aren't talking about that executive order that King Obama signed, yet that's a very, very significant executive order. It's unbelievably unconstitutional, but people need to understand it's real and it's happening, and we need to be prepared for it.
I agree. Here's another article. Police shoot six-year-old autistic boy dead, but he's white, so no one cares. Police officers shot and killed a six-year-old autistic boy during an incident in Louisiana, but the boy was white. He wasn't holding a gun. He didn't have a long criminal record at the age of six. And so don't expect any protest or national media attention. Police claimed they chased the boy's father, Christopher Few, after he had an argument with his girlfriend, and that Few used his vehicle as a weapon, prompting them to open fire. However, State District Court Judge William Bennett said the video doesn't show Few using his car as a weapon at the time of the shooting. The officer seems to be shooting at a stationary car while Few was clearly seen with his hands up, of course he was. Amartis, who had autism, died at the scene after suffering multiple gunshot wounds while his father survived. Police claimed they were chasing Few because of an outstanding warrant, although it was later confirmed that there were no warrants against him. While Black Lives Matter, demonstrators will stage riots, attack reporters, and burn down cities over shooting deaths of black victims who mainly are criminals. And saying all lives matter is racist, that there will be no protest over Martis. Wow. Here's another one. Disturbing dash cam shows raging cop shattered his windshield with handcuffed man's face. This is Russia Today. An Ohio officer slammed handcuffs, a handcuffed man's face into a police cruiser with so much force that it broke his windshield, causing the glass to shatter. Newly released footage shows, despite the violent impact, the local police chief is defending the officer. Of course he is. Dash cam video can be obtained exclusively by the NBC affiliate WKYC. It shows Pell Smith being escorted to the squad car while handcuffed in Lorain, Ohio. Instead of opening the car door for Smith and placing him in the back seat, the officer escorting him throws him against the windshield so hard that the glass shatters. Smith was treated at Mercy Regional Medical Center for facial injuries following the incidents. The arrest took place while police were investigating drug complaint in Smith's neighborhood. According to a statement released by Lorain police chiefs, Smith tried to destroy drug evidence by placing it in his mouth and physically resisted officers. That's what they always say as they tried to retrieve the evidence. However, the video merely shows Smith calling out to his mother to look after his son. Smith was ultimately charged with tampering with evidence, obstructing official business, and resisting arrest. As part of the deal with prosecutors, he pleaded guilty and received probation after his face was smashed. Austin, I don't know what to say about any of this stuff anymore. I mean, the police have gotten so out of whack in some of these cities with some of these guys that are ex-military. They really shouldn't be police officers. It's like it's never, ever ends, Austin, that we have these stories to report on. It's crazy.
Well, they've become so militarized, and like you just said, a lot of them, and they've utilized their tactics and their skills when they've come back from Iraq and Afghanistan. I know a huge requirement down here in Florida for state patrol and state troopers is they like you to have prior military active duty infantry background. And the problem is, as you just said, what we have these guys that have been in active war theater for years on end with multiple tours where they're engaging hostiles in a very, very hot environment, and they pretty much essentially over there can get away with whatever they want to. We've seen videos like that before, not saying it's right, but they get away with a lot of that stuff. And then they come over here, and they try to basically adapt in a civilian life, even just as law enforcement, but they still treat people that are maybe doing criminal activities, but a lot of times it's very petty criminal activities, but they treat them like they're absolute scum of the earth, and they think they have the right to basically beat them, wham on them, handcuff them, slam their face in the windshield. I watched that video yesterday, by the way, that you're talking about, and I mean, he straight ate the windshield with his face. I mean, he slammed him into it unbelievably hard. They already had him handcuffed and ready to go. It was completely unnecessary, complete and total abuse of power. There's no reason any type of law enforcement officer should be able to treat somebody like that unless they have some type of weapon and they're fighting, and obviously the officer is in great fear of his life. But that was not even the case. They couldn't even try and use that claim in that video because there were like four other officers walking beside him, just walking alongside, and then he slams him on the hood and slams his face in the windshield. Guys, this isn't acceptable behavior. This isn't how we should be treating one another. This isn't love and respect. Granted, I know these law enforcement officers. I have friends that are involved in it. And, you know, you do have to deal with some very, very, very shady, grimy people on a regular basis. I understand that. I really do. But on the other hand, too, you have to show restraint, especially in situations like that, and not treat people like that and just slam their faces into stuff. I mean, I've seen videos online where, I mean, they straight just take people to the ground, face plant them, drop them on their head, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we found a dime bag of pot in his car. You know, oh, so it's a felony now. We're charging him with felony drug possession, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't excessive use of force because he could have done this or he could have done that. Guys, you can justify it all you want in your head. You can justify it on paper. You can justify it in your report. But the truth is, it doesn't make it right. And God sees it. And he knows what you've done. And eventually, you're going to have to answer for all these wrongs you've done to people in your life. Some people may not care about that, but I do. I don't want to have to stand before God on Judgment Day and have to answer for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people that I've intentionally harmed and I've intentionally made fun of and I've intentionally harassed on purpose. If I was in that type of business, that's not something you guys want to do. So just think about that. If we have any listeners that are in law enforcement, just think about it before you do that, guys. That's all I ask. Just think about how you're treating other people.
Wow. Here's another article from the Gateway Pundit. It's Army veteran beaten by Charlotte mob screaming, "You're in the danger zone, white boy." Army veteran David Palmer was beaten badly last week during the violent Black Lives Matter riots in Charlotte that were paid for by George Soros and Black Lives Matter. David was jumped by 10 black men that were attacking multiple victims and looting several businesses around the epicenter, Popular Military reported. According to Palmer's sister, Ashley, he had been out of the Army for about less than a year and was working at a bar to make money before starting school in the spring. Palmer was walking down 4th Street near Epicenter parking deck after leaving dinner at the Blackfin with his sister at around 8:45 when the attack occurred. His sister parted ways with him after dinner, but reports the men ambushed Palmer from a concealed position behind a construction site, and as they began to beat him, they reportedly shouted, "You're in the danger zone, white boy." I don't even know what to say. I mean, this is just, it's just, I don't know what to say. It's just awful. Here's another article. Third U.S. sailor, U.S. Navy sailor dies after being exposed to Fukushima radiation. This is at least three of the U.S. Navy sailors exposed to the radiation in 2011 have now died from mysterious illnesses. Of course, it's radiation poisoning. So the Fukushima thing is not getting any better, and it's basically poisoning the entire Pacific Ocean. So guys, it's really important that you take potassium iodide every day, 12.5 milligrams. You know, we have that available at the office in tablet form. It's a nascent type of potassium iodide. It's very, very inexpensive. We're not trying to rip anybody off with it. And it's one of the highest quality products that you're going to get. I've had numerous people contact me and say they've used other people's potassium iodide. They didn't feel any difference on it. They start taking this product, they start feeling immediate health benefits. They started having more energy. They started burning body fat and felt great. By the way, Fukushima radiation has contaminated the entire Pacific Ocean, and it's going to get worse. This is from True Activist. Fukushima continues to leak at an astounding 300 tons of radioactive waste into the Pacific Ocean every day. This is waste water. It will continue to do so indefinitely as the source of the leak cannot be sealed, as it has become inaccessible to both humans and robots due to the high temperatures. It should come as no surprise that Fukushima has contaminated the entire Pacific Ocean in just 5 years. This could easily be the worst environmental disaster in human history, and it's almost never talked about by the politicians, establishment scientists, or the news. Not long after Fukushima, fish in Canada began bleeding from their gills and mouths and eyeballs. This disease has been ignored by the government and has decimated native fish populations, including the North Pacific herring. Elsewhere in Western Canada, independent scientists have measured a 300% increase in the level of radiation. According to them, the amount of radiation in the Pacific Ocean is increasing every year. Why is this being ignored by the mainstream media? It might have something to do with the fact that the U.S. and Canadian governments have banned their citizens from talking about Fukushima so people don't panic. Who knows, Austin? What do you think?
Oh, man, Fukushima's a disaster. It's just one of those things. It's the gift that just keeps on giving over there. And I don't know if they really seriously are that inept they can't figure out how to get this thing to shut down, or if they're intentionally leaving it open because they want to basically just incite damage on the entire ecosystem. I don't know. Well, it's really one or the other.
Well, remember what I said. I said this, I wrote this morning. These people are totally given over to hedonism, pedophilia,
yeah,
occult worship, and the bringing in the full kingdom of Lucifer. They want to destroy the planet. They hate God so much they are willing to destroy us and this planet as we know it. That's why they do this, because they really don't care. I mean, they really hate Yahweh that much, and they don't know what these people are just Luciferians. They don't care. It's like Angelina Jolie, apparently Brad Pitt released a video of her because of the divorce thing now. And she has a whole video now online where it's like, I'm sure she doesn't like it, talking about being initiated with these weird things in which they had her hands tied behind her back and all this other kind of stuff, and how much energy she got from it. I mean, this is her in her own words talking about this. I mean, we always knew she was a nutbag, so I guess she's really going to be an unbelievable nutbag if this ever gets out, Oz. What's your next story?
Well, yeah, speaking of the UN, I just... we've got an email right here. This is talking about on the All News Pipeline. A guy sending a bunch of photos now from up in, where is it at here? In Maryland. And a ton of UN vehicles, UN containers, UN trailers, UN fuel tankers, UN armored vehicles. I mean, rows of these things this guy sent in. And I guess they're trying to say that their Snopes has been trying to debunk it and say they're basically making the vehicles. And they're transporting them out of there. But quite frankly, after the article I just talked about earlier and the fact that Obama signed this executive order, we're not seeing any of these vehicles on container ships or going anywhere. These vehicles are always floating around the United States, parked at different places, parked on the back of different semi-trucks getting transported. So I have a feeling, guys, I don't know what's going on, but there's definitely something big brewing. And this is not something that's going to go over quietly. I think once people start realizing that the UN here is here to basically, you guys got to understand, the large percentage of U.S. military is still very, very strong constitutionalists. They want to protect their country. They want to take care of their family. But if the United States brings in UN peacekeepers, these guys will have no bone to pick with us. They will simply be following orders. They will have no family here. They will have no allegiance to the United States. They will simply be paid mercenaries under the guise of calling them UN peacekeepers, which that's the funny name that I think they give them, peacekeepers. It's really funny when they give soldiers a name, something like that, especially as sinister as the UN is. It's crazy to me how the propaganda and how the psychops of what they've done to the United States population with these simple terms and words and everything else. But like I said, guys, be very, very awake and open, because if you start seeing these big white vehicles running around with UN on the side of them, I can promise you they're not here to take photos and sightsee. They're here to do something very, very sinister. I promise you that. So keep a lookout and stay frosty of what's going on.
While Putin has suspended the nuclear pact with the U.S. as far as plutonium, also the U.S. suspends a serious ceasefire talks with Russia, Washington Times. In a sharp deterioration of relations, the U.S. on Monday suspended diplomatic contacts with Russia over Syria. While Moscow halted cooperation on a joint program for disposal of weapons-grade plutonium, The U.S. move followed a threat last week from Secretary of State blithering idiot John Kerry after a new Russian and Syrian attacks on the city of Aleppo. Remember, he's Skull and Bones boy. The State Department said Russia had not lived up to the terms of an agreement last month to restore a ceasefire. Of course not, after they were getting attacked. Why would they? And ensure sustained deliveries of humanitarian aid to besieged cities. Monday's announcement came just hours after President Putin suspended a Russia-U.S. deal on the disposal of weapons-grade plutonium, in a move that has also underscored rising tensions between Washington and Moscow. Putin's decree cited that Washington's unfriendly actions and the United States' inability to fulfill its obligations under the 2000 deal as reasons for the move. Under the agreement, which was expanded in 2006 and 2010, Russia and the U.S. each were disposed of 34 metric tons of that's a lot of plutonium, of weapons-grade plutonium, enough material for 17,000 nuclear warheads. Wow. 40 million Russians, by the way, are to take part in emergency evacuation drills. Federal agencies, heads of regions, local authorities, and other organizations will take part in a massive exercise which runs from the 4th to the 7th of October, which is right now. The simulation will include 200,000 professional rescue units, 50,000 pieces of equipment. Abnormal emergency rescue teams will war game evacuation procedures during a national crisis, according to the report, according to Agla Manilov, the director of Russian civil defense. Guys, this is really starting to stench like it did back in the 50s when we were little kids, in the 60s, in which they would have nuclear fallout drills and nuclear drills in our classrooms, and they were telling us as little children, if we had a nuclear attack, how we had to practice this often. They'd like ring a bell and we'd have a nuclear attack drill and we'd have to crawl under our desks and hide. I mean, and you know, like, that's going to do a lot with a nuclear bomb. I guess they're trying to protect us from the glass and the windows. But I mean, this is nuts. This whole thing is starting to heat up now, and Putin just basically decided he didn't want to be part of the New World Order. He didn't want to worship Lucifer. He had enough of it. Now they're going to make him out the boogie guy too. What do you think, son?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what they're going to do. As we always see the negative propaganda that they keep feeding us all the time about Russia. It's Russia this, and Russia's doing that, and Russia's starting a fight over here, and Russia's supporting Syria with Assad. And that's what they want to do. They want to demonize Russia because, of course, as we've talked about before, Russia doesn't play the New World Order game from what I've seen. They don't want GMO foods in their country at all. They've already stated by 2020 they want to have complete and total control over their food, of non-GMO food, and they want to be the biggest exporter of organic food in the world. I mean, how can you possibly complain about something like that? I mean, that just screams anti-New World Order right there. So, I mean, that's what these guys stand for. And like I said, Putin Putin's, I'm sure Putin's no angel. I don't know him personally. I've never met him. I probably never will meet him. And I guarantee you he's probably done things that, you know, a lot of people would frown upon. I don't doubt that at all, to get in the place that he's at. But on the other hand, too, the way that he's operating things over there and the way that he's standing strong on a lot of topics that I agree with, you know, it's hard for me to sit there and really criticize him in a lot of areas. But also, too, this is news then now. Bees now have been added to the endangered species list. This is not, seven types of bees once found in abundance now have been the first bees to be added to the U.S. federal list of endangered and threatened species. And what we're seeing now, guys, we've talked about this before, the aluminum, these pesticides they're using, the aluminum from the chemtrails, the Zika spraying. We talked about this in South Carolina. They had over 2 million bees die on one single weekend from this ridiculous spraying for Zika that they're putting out all over the place. And now everybody's starting to realize Zika's a complete and total hoax as far as the hysteria. Does Zika exist? Absolutely. Is it what they're saying it is? No, it's not at all. They're using it as a guise to test more stuff on us, to get more vaccinations pushed on us, to put more stuff in the aerial spray to try and reduce our immune systems. That's what they're doing with Zika. It's been around since the 60s. Got mild, at best, mild symptoms to it, and you're over it in a few days, especially with a good immune system. But is that sad now to have seven different strands of bees now have been placed on the endangered species list? And from what I've been told from a lot of scientists and a lot of agricultural people, if bees cease to exist, if they go into full extinction, the fact that we survive much more than 5 or 6 years will actually be a surprise to these guys. And maybe that's the goal with the Nephilim. Maybe they want to create some type of weird hybrid that we don't have to function on certain foods. They can give us just, you know, what was that one movie Solvent Green or something?
Soylent Green with Charles Heston.
You've
got a picture with Charlton Heston. He was one of the seminar speakers with me back in the 90s. He's gone now. May he rest in peace. Yes, in fact, they were feeding people. They were actually tableting them. They were having eugenics centers everywhere. When people got tired of basically living, they would be reprocessed as food, and they were basically making the humans all cannibals, and it was called Soylent Green. And so we were eating dead people when we were eating the food. So remember, they don't care. You remember I read you that whole article this morning when I wrote it. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, you got to think about it. You know, I've got so much stuff going on, you know, with our show and reading the news and this election coming up and all of the stuff that's happening, guys. You know, if you're not energized right now is what's fixing to happen, like in 30 days of this election on November the 8th, which by the way is my birthday. I'll mention that the election of my lifetime, right, is on November the 8th. My birthday, I'll be 61. But by the way, this is what they were afraid of. The Iraqis are now using sue the Saudis 9/11 bill to sue the U.S. for the 2003 invasion. How about that? And the lobbyist group Arab Project in Iraq now sees their opportunity to ask for compensation from the USA over violations of U.S. forces following the invasion of Iraq that saw the toppling of the late President Saddam Hussein and his murder. According to the report, the group is pushing for a full-fledged investigation over the killing of civilian targets, loss of properties, and individuals who suffered torture and other mistreatment on the hand of U.S. forces. While many states have criticized the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act as its potential of eroding the principle of sovereign immunity and changing international law, this immunity has been used by Saudi Arabia, who was found to have been aided and abetted the 9/11 hijackers to shield themselves from any and all accountability. You know what, guys? This is going to be interesting to go through the international courts with this, but, you know, we were so guilty with Iraq and what we did to those people and then having Saddam hung like we did. I mean, it was unbelievable. He had no weapons of mass destruction there. We could have gone in, ransacked the country, looked for weapons of mass destruction, not found them, put him back in power, and been done with it, and said, you know, whoops, our bad, we'll clean it up. We didn't do that. You know, we just had him hung. And now that place has been a wreck since they'd done that with, you know, killed him. The reason he was able to survive in Iraq for as long as he was, because remember, he was put in by the CIA too. The reason he was so powerful and so strong with that country is he was just meaner than all the rest of them. He had this roving rape groups that used to go around raping people's families if they did things that he didn't like. And I'm not saying he was a good man, because he was not a good man, but I'm telling you one thing. Those nuts over there, they knew one thing. If they messed with this guy, they were going to get themselves shot and their whole family was going to get shot or raped. They didn't do it. Now, I'm not saying that that's correct, but I'm not saying that that's their culture. I mean, we, you know, we, that's the thing, that if you don't travel a lot around the world, you don't understand different cultures. And the United States culture and the Iraqi culture are two different things. We're never going to understand them lining a bunch of people about in Saudi Arabia and whacking their heads off in a public display execution. We're not going to get that. But that's what they do. Now, is that right or is that wrong? In our culture, we consider it incorrect, wrong, and absolutely horrible. But in their culture, they think it's okay or they wouldn't do it. So, guys, listen to me. We got to stop this going to other countries and just killing everybody we don't like. I mean, that's just kind of ridiculous. And so I'll be honest with you. More power to them. If they can sue the United States government and get in line for killing all those civilians and killing their families and doing all that stuff, we opened it up. We passed the bill. Remember, guys, I told you the other day when they did that, when they passed that bill, Austin, you heard it on this show first, that there was more to this than meets the eye. There's something else going on for them to turn against Saudi Arabia like they did. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, yeah. No, you definitely called that out. There's a whole lot more going on with that, and I have a feeling there's way more that we're going to keep seeing about it, just the same way we haven't seen anything about the Saturday deadline for us basically handing over the United States Internet sovereignty.
Last week, right.
Yeah, on Saturday. That's going to come out to play, too, guys. All this stuff is mending together. All of it's playing a small, crucial role in what the globalist agenda promotes. And, you know, like I said, with the UN, peacekeepers being allowed to basically engage American targets and U.S. soil, that signed in July, our internet being given over, now this whole thing with Saudi Arabia, all this stuff right before the election, all within months of the election. Nah, man, I don't. This isn't just coincidental. There's definitely something very, very significant being played right now, and that's why we have to do the best we can as Americans and as Christians and as patriots to come together and get everybody on the same page, because we have to stand together and unify. We cannot be so divided as we are right now, with so many people that are just wanting this, and you have the Black Lives Matter, and you have the Clinton fans, and all these people that are just, I mean, obviously we can't get everybody on board, because some people are just stuck on stupid. I know our listeners are incredibly smart, but there's some people you run into, you guys know, you're not changing their mind about them being idiots. There's nothing you can do about it. But the people we can help, you know, we got to do the best.
All right, guys, I love you. I appreciate you. Thanks for signing up for the newsletter. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for supporting the show. And thanks for letting us not make this an infomercial and just doing the news and very rarely talk about supplements or health masters. We appreciate you guys supporting us. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yeah, guys, we appreciate it. Check out the newsletter. Like I said, we're going to start throwing the links to the radio shows in there so you can forward them easy. We appreciate everything. You guys have any calls, email us. Call us on the website, healthmasters.com. Email us any questions. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.